This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
The meeting of state retirement law, the House Committee on South Dakota Retirement Law to order at the present time. We want to greet all the internet listeners. We want to welcome everybody here. This is Chairman Boland. Just mentioning we're going to get started here now. We want to make sure all our cell phones are turned off. I don't think this is probably our only meeting of the year, so we're not going to get into a fine situation or anything like that. I mean, the jerky situation, but we will. We hope that we wouldn't have any issues with that. I know it's been a long day on the House floor today, and so we're going to try to move through this, not in a rushed manner, but expeditiously as best we can. Unless there's any other comments, we'll have the Secretary call the roll.
Representatives Kirschman.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye. Here.
Schoenbeck. Rounds.
Here.
Bolin.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Are there any minutes that we have to deal with since this is the only meeting? Very good. Thank you so much. Well, again, I want to welcome all of the internet listeners and people like that. We also have a page here who help us with any distribution of materials and things like that. If you'd come up to the microphone and just turn it on, punch that little button there and tell us your name, town you're from, and what your plans are for the future.
I'm Eve Gable. I'm from Watertown. I plan on going to LETI for medical laboratory science degree.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're glad you're here, and thanks again. If we don't, we'll just have all the questions go through the chair. I don't think we have any. We'll probably have some handouts during the time. We have three bills to consider today. They are Senate Bill 13, which I think we all are aware is a significant change as far as the retirement system is concerned. Senate Bill 14 would revise some administrative provisions, repeal certain obsolete provisions concerning the SDRS, and the last one would make a change in the membership of the South Dakota Investment Council. So we're going to take these in order, Senate Bill 13 first, then 14 and 15. And at this time, we're going to take up Senate Bill 13. I'd like proponents to come forward for Senate Bill 13.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be before you today. My name is Elmer Brinkman. I am the chairman of the South Dakota Retirement System Board of Trustees. I'm a commissioner for Cottington County. Before making comments in support of Senate Bill 13, Mr. Chair, I'd ask for a moment of personal privilege to allow a few trustees who are in attendance today to introduce themselves, if that would be okay.
Granted. Please introduce the people that you would like to, sir.
Dr. Hansen, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm James Hansen. I represent 25,600 retirees.
Thank you.
Louise Lovin, I represent the Board of Regents, faculty, and a professional staff.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here.
We may have one more that joins us a little bit later. That's Justice Stephen Zitter.
Very good. Please proceed.
As you know, the South Dakota retirement system is a retirement system for nearly all public employees in South Dakota. The plan covers all teachers, all school district employees, state employees, county and city employees, regental employees, and the employees of many small jurisdictions. In total, over 480 employer participate, and there are more than 80,000 members of the South Dakota retirement system. Prudent benefit designs, outstanding investment returns, and the support of the legislature, the executive and judicial branches of state government, and all the stakeholders have made the long-term actuarial soundness of the South Dakota retirement system possible. SDRS has currently reached all of its long-term funding goals of the Board of Trustees. And during the last few years, the Board of Trustees has been focused on restructuring SDRS benefit features to enhance the long-term sustainability of SDRS and thereby making the benefits for all members more secure. That new benefit design is embodied in Senate Bill 13. The changes proposed in Senate Bill 13 only impact new members of SDRS after June 30, 2017. SDRS remains one plan with features that differ for the two groups, but the employer and member contribution remain exactly the same, and the value of the respective benefits also remain the same. Now, some may ask why we suggest changes when things have been going so well. The Board of Trustees, in conjunction with the Retirement Laws Committee, has always been proactive, even forward-looking, in the management of the system. SDRS is currently in a position of strength, but the board views this as the best time to plan for challenges that may be faced in the future. I'm going to yield to Mr. Wiley and Ms. Storm in just a moment to provide more details on Senate Bill 13. I appreciate the opportunity to speak in support of Senate Bill 13, and I ask each of you on the committee to support this bill as well. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Brinkman. Other proponents? Mr. Wiley's been identified. Please come forward. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Rob Wiley, the Executive Director of the South Dakota Retirement System. I, too, am a proponent for Senate Bill 13. It has been the work of the Retirement Board and staff for the last 5 years, really, to be working on improving the sustainability of the South Dakota retirement system. As part of that project, the board established objectives to not only increase sustainability, but also to improve the income replacement goals and achievements that we have in the benefit structure, and then also maintain an equitable system for what would be the new design and those that are currently in the plan. And as a final item, and the one that maybe all of you are very aware of, is that we're looking to better balance the retirement benefits of SDRS with the workforce needs that we're seeing in public employment here in South Dakota. Senate Bill 13, as Elmer mentioned, will not take effect until July 1 of 2017, so any new member of the system after that date would be affected by these provisions. Anyone who is currently in the system or will join the system in the interim would not be impacted by these. In general, and just to keep this short, Mr. Chair, the board is taking this as a proactive step, as an opportunity for us to move forward with this plan, to do some things that probably aren't being done in a lot of plans, but because we're well-funded, because we have a different kind of demographic here in South Dakota and the support that we've received throughout, we're taking these steps to really look to the future, to people who may retire in 30 years from now or 40 years from now, and make sure that we support those people and also support the plan itself to maintain its viability. The actuary has provided a statement that effectively states that Senate Bill 13 has no material impact on the existing actuarial accrued liabilities or the ongoing actuarial costs, and that because a portion of the future benefits will vary with the investment returns. In the good times, there will be adjustments up. In the bad times, those liabilities will fall. What we have right now in a straight DB type plan is, in all circumstances, as you move forward in compensation and in service, the liability always grows, even in the event that the market would fall. This portion of the benefit would then be enhance the sustainability because it would react with the market, a key factor in our moving this idea forward. And with that, Mr. Chair, I would urge your positive consideration of Senate Bill 13, and leave it to Ms. Storm to give you a little bit more of the detail.
Thank you, Mr. Wiley.
Good afternoon. My name is Jackie Storm, and I'm here today on behalf of the South Dakota Retirement System in support of Senate Bill 13. I intend to discuss the key components of the new benefit design rather than take you section by section through the bill. I realize that you've had a long day already. My discussion will focus on four main areas in the generational design that differ from the current or foundation design. They are benefit eligibility, benefit features, survivor benefits, and the COLA, or cost of living allowance. In terms of eligibility, normal retirement age is increased by 2 years. So for Class A and Class B judicial members, the normal retirement age becomes 67. For Class B public safety members, the normal retirement age is 57. The member can retire before normal retirement age. In other words, a generational member may elect to retire in the 10 years prior to normal retirement age. However, that benefit will be reduced by 5% for each full year that they retire before their normal retirement age. And that reduction is necessary to cover the cost of that extended duration of the benefit. Special early retirement is not a feature of the generational plan. Special early retirement is often referred to as the rule of eligibility. That permits, for instance, a Class A foundation member who meets certain minimum age and service requirements to retire as early as age 55 and receive a retirement benefit without a reduction. Again, this is not a feature of the new benefit. This is an equity issue and a workforce issue. The board recognized that over 25% of our current plan is due to subsidies and early retirement incentives being the largest. The early retirement is subsidized by those who are not eligible or those who cannot afford to retire early. From a workforce viewpoint, employers are losing productive employees with a wealth of knowledge, and these employees are not retiring in the true sense, but rather they're remaining employed in another job, which is contrary to the design and purpose of pensions generally. So the current design worked well back in the day of baby boomers when we needed to make room for some jobs, but demographics have changed and the retirement design has to change as well. In terms of benefit features, the benefit multiplier for Class A generational members is 1.8% of final average compensation, which is an increase of 1.5%. And as Rob mentioned, that was a goal of the board, to get the Class A benefit multiplier up. And this is a result of those savings that we've achieved from cutting out that special rule of incentive. The benefit multipliers for Class B members, Class B public safety, as well as Class B judicial members, remain the same. Another change in the area of benefit features is the calculation of final average compensation. The period of time used for the calculation expands from 12 quarters, or 3 years, to 20 quarters, or 5 years, for generational members. A completely new benefit feature for generational members is the variable retirement account. Rob spoke of this. This is that piece that's variable. The account will be established for each generational member. The account will consist of variable retirement contributions and credited investment returns. The credited investment returns will be based on the South Dakota Investment Council's earnings and accredited annually. The contributions will be established by the board annually and based on the most current annual actuarial valuation, and it will range up to 1.5% of compensation. The variable retirement account is payable upon retirement, death, or disability, and it can be paid out in a lump sum, it can be annuitized, and it can be rolled over to the SDRS deferred compensation plan or another eligible plan. Now, turning to survivor benefits, under the current or foundation design, the retirement benefit includes a survivor benefit payable to an eligible surviving spouse, but single members obviously do not benefit from this design. Under the new generational design, at the time of retirement, a member has three options from which to choose. They can choose a single life annuity payable until the death of the member, and upon the death, then nothing is payable. A 60% joint and survivor benefit, so that the member would take a reduced benefit, and upon the member's death, 60% of that reduced benefit would be paid to the spouse. And they have a new option, a 100% joint and survivor benefit, that provides a reduced monthly benefit to the member, but upon the member's death, the surviving spouse gets that same monthly amount. Now, these joint and survivor benefits are based on the ages of the member and the spouse, and are actuarially equivalent to that single life benefit. And the member's monthly benefit is reduced to pay for that surviving spouse benefit. The final difference that I'm going to discuss is that of the COLA. The COLA is referred to as the improvement factor in statute and is defined differently for generational and foundation members. For generational members, the improvement factor, or COLA, is indexed to the Consumer Price Index, or CPI, but with a minimum of 1% and a maximum ranging from 2.1% to 3.1% based on the system's fair value funded ratio. One quick comment in general is that there's also reorganizing going on in this bill. There are a number of definitions in our current section of definitions that are substantive and therefore by style and form standards do not belong in a list of definitions, so you will see those have been moved out to their own section of law. That concludes my testimony just in time, and I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Other proponents for Senate Bill 13? Any other proponents? Seeing none, do we have any opponents? Any opponents for Senate Bill 13? Seeing none, we'll therefore waive any rebuttal, and we'll just open it up now to questions of the proponents by committee members. Any questions by committee members of the proponents? Hearing none, we're now going to move. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may ask a question, and any one of you would probably be able to answer it. I was listening to the testimony on the survivor benefits, and there were three. You discussed the three different, I guess, choices that are there. I guess what I'm thinking of is, is the new employee flexible as to 5 years in changing their survivor benefits package? I mean, they had a choice of three to begin with.
Representative Boland, Representative Rounds. Excuse me, the election is made at the time of retirement, not at the time of enrollment. So it's not until the member retires that he or she chooses whether or not to take that single life or that joint survivor.
And then if you just wait there one more time, I just want to ask one question. I want to make sure it gets on the record. It's accurate to say that the approval of this by the SDRS board was unanimous. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Okay. Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is, I've heard the terms generation member and foundation member. And I think during your testimony you talked about a generation. That would be the new an employee under the after July 1 of 2017. A foundation member is somebody who's in the system right now.
Thank you, Chair, Representative Rounds. Thank you for the question. Yes, a foundation member refers to someone who's in the system or is a member of the system before July 1, 2017. Any member becoming a member or any person becoming a member as of July 1, 2017 is referred to as a generational member.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. Any other questions? Please, Representative Kirschman.
Representative Wiley, Mr. Wiley. Are there any groups out there that still could come in to the retirement system before July of 2017? Have you looked at any more that could? I remember a couple years ago we had the brand inspectors. Are there any?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
You know, occasionally some group appears. In fact, there is even new groups that are established at this point in time in public as public entities. We're not aware of anyone. We don't have anyone pending at this point in time. Virtually all of what would you would think of as the public employee groups around the state, now that Sioux Falls has got their new people moving in, the cement plant has moved in. In general, they're just very, very little of the public employee population that isn't in. The Department of Labor has a retirement plan that's an old plan. It was cut off from new membership back in the early 80s. They're a very solid plan. They do just fine. I don't expect any connection with them, actually. But otherwise, there just aren't very many public employees left that aren't in.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wiley and Mr. Rounds. That's an interesting question. We'll refrain from commenting on that. Any other questions? Any other questions? Seeing no questions, we're going to close the question portion of the hearing on this bill, and we're going to open it up to discussion and or action by committee members. Mr. Representative Rounds.
Chair, I would move due pass on Senate Bill 13.
Thank you for your – and it's we have a second by Representative Kirschman. It's been moved and seconded that Senate Bill 13 be passed, received a due pass motion, and go to the floor. Representative Rounds, do you have any comments on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the key words I heard during this testimony and in the Senate hearings on this bill was retirement board's going to be proactive. Times are good right now. They're going to be proactive for the future. And I think this is the goodest time as any to, I guess, take this next step to ensure the viability of this of the retirement system. I did hear in previous testimony that, you know, this would be our second, so to speak, system that we've got. We've got the foundation and now a generation members that'll be coming in a year and 5 months. Some other states, some other retirement systems are 6, 7, 8 different levels. And I'm thinking what we're doing is that looking towards the future, 30 years down the road, the viability of the system, which is one of the best in the country. We all have heard that. We all know it. There weren't that many questions to be asked on this, and we've been getting very good information from the executive director and his staff on these bills. I think due pass is warranted on Senate Bill 13. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rounds. Any other comments? Hearing none, I'll just take the opportunity to just express my views on this. I do think this is a significant change, I think it's very important to note that this was passed unanimously by the South Dakota Retirement System Board. We have many decisions made by courts and governmental agencies and all sorts of different bodies that are split decisions. But in this case, we had a unanimous vote, and so I think that speaks well of the decision. And I'm going to support this motion as well. So, hearing no other comments, Secretary will call the roll on the motion.
Representative Kirschman.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
5 ayes.
As a result of the vote, Senate Bill 13 will go to the floor. And I will, as chairman, I will take responsibility for carrying that particular bill on the floor. It will go on the debate calendar. Our next bill up for action in this hearing is Senate Bill 14, a bill that would revise certain administrative provisions and repeal certain obsolete provisions concerning the South Dakota retirement system. Again, do we have proponents for this particular piece of legislation? Justice Zinner, welcome to Retirement Law.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Steve Zinner. I'm the judicial member on the commission, or on the board, and I am the vice chair. We're here proposing this bill to you today as a part of our routine review. We're, as this committee knows more than anybody else, this is a pretty complex system. So we're always going through looking at the various provisions, and that includes the basic plan, the deferred compensation plan, and the special pay plan. And this is simply cleanup legislation to revise definitions, get rid of antiquated provisions, and simply update it to make it more workable for the administration. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll have Jackie explain the details.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Further proponents? It looks like Jackie's stepping forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, for the record, Jackie Storm here on behalf of the South Dakota Retirement System in support of Senate Bill 14. Although this is a lengthy bill in terms of pages, there are really just a handful of changes that are proposed in this legislation. I'm going to cover each of those changes rather than go through the bill section by section. Of course, if you have any questions on a particular section, I will be happy to address those as well. One change that is occurring in almost every section of this bill is the change of title for the head of SDRS from administrator to executive director. I would like to take just a moment to provide some historical perspective on this. When SDRS was established in 1974, there was a provision that said the administrator was to be appointed by the Secretary of the Department of Manpower Affairs, now known as the Department of Labor and Regulation. In 1979, the appointment of the administrator by the secretary was repealed, and the Board of Trustees of SDRS was authorized to appoint that administrator. The board is bringing this change in title, recognizing that the position is no longer one of an administrator who administers a program. The position is now one that is appointed by a board of members who are primarily elected by their constituencies to direct the operation of a $10 billion pension fund. Now I will move on to highlight some other changes, some of which occur just as often, and other changes that may occur just once. Section 1 is an example where the change is occurring just once. The new language adds that a vote of the board requires a majority of those present. The board consists of 16 voting members, and so there is a possibility of a vote of 8-8. This clarifies that in that situation, 8 votes is not sufficient to carry a vote. The next change that I'd like to discuss is in Section 5, and that's related to the change in title. When the appointment of the administrator was repealed in 1979, there remained a reference to the Department of Labor and Regulation in terms of reporting the SDRS budget. This has not been the practice for reporting the SDRS budget during any of that time, so we view this as an obsolete provision that should be removed. In Section 6, the overstricken references are two statutes that have been repealed or renumbered, so we are seeking to remove them. This is another recurring change that you will see throughout the bill. In Section 9, the repeal of effective rate and the replacement of assumed rate of return is actually not a change in practice, but due to some awkward statutory language. The definition of effective rate includes a sentence at the end stating that in certain sections, this refers to the assumed rate of return. We are cleaning that definition up and placing the assumed rate of return language within those specific statutes if it isn't there currently. The next new change is in Section 15, where a phrase associated with non-contributory service is repealed. We have added a definition of non-contributory service in Senate Bill 13 because it has a slightly different meaning for the generational and foundation members. This change allows us to refer to non-contributory service and have both groups covered without listing a string of statutes. In Section 16, we are updating some internal cross-references. Then to Section 17, you will note that this is a new section of law, but it is not a new practice. The section refers to differential wage payment for those who serve in the military. While this has been the practice of employers that is paying the difference in the military to the military member in the wage that they would have earned in the military pay, we did not have a statute addressing this. and we are adding this now to be in compliance with the IRS requirement for a qualified plan. This is just one of many things that the IRS looks at when assessing SDRS's qualification. Just last month, we filed an application with the IRS for a determination that the plan's terms do meet the tax qualification requirements. Another change in this bill we have not yet discussed is in Section 25. That section requires that the board receive an independent review of the investment performance of the assets of the retirement system at least every 4 years. We propose no change to that requirement. The change that is proposed is the deletion of the very specific things to be reported. Frankly, this does not match current industry standards, so the removal of these very specific terms are no longer applicable provide the board the flexibility to get the current standards and get a report that is not contrary to the statute. The final section to highlight is Section 26. This provision relates to the report of the system and recommendations for corrective action. The changes are necessary to make the language consistent within the section as well as within the chapter. In addition, however, language is added to clarify that the benefit and contribution provisions may be revised by the legislature to improve the conditions established in this section. That concludes my explanation of the various changes occurring in the bill. I would note two additional items as I close. First, language throughout the bill was conformed again to meet current style and form standards, so some changes were made simply for that purpose. And secondly, this bill has no material impact on the liabilities or funded status of SDRS. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Storm. Any other proponents on Senate Bill 14? Proponents, Senate Bill 14. Seeing none, any opponents, Senate Bill 14? Any opponents, Senate Bill 14? Seeing none, we waive rebuttal. We will go immediately to questions of the committee for any of the proponents of Senate Bill 14. Hearing no questions, we will close that phase of the hearing, and we'll move on to any discussion and or action on Senate Bill 14. Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move due pass on Senate Bill 14.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been seconded. Moved by Representative Rounds and seconded by Representative McCleary that we pass Senate Bill 14. Any discussion on your motion?
I don't have a lot of discussion right now. I'm still reading. I'm on page 24, and I've got a few more pages to go, but I think the proponents really explain the major changes that I'm seeing in here. I see executive director, administrator lined out. It looks to be mostly style and form, except for those items she discussed, and they seem to make sense. So I would move that we send this to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Rounds. Any other comments on the motion? Hearing no other comments, we'll call for the vote at this particular time. And if you are in favor, you'll say yay, and if you're opposed, say nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Kirschman.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Five ayes.
The bill has been passed on a unanimous vote of 5-0, and Representative Rounds has moved consent. It's been seconded. Any objections to putting Senate Bill 14 on the consent calendar? Hearing none, we will move that bill to the consent calendar of the House of Representatives. Our final bill for today is Senate Bill 15, an act to revise certain provisions concerning the membership of the South Dakota Investment Council. I would note that this bill is much shorter than the previous in terms of its usage of ink and paper. So do we have any proponents of Senate Bill number 15? We have Mr. Wiley coming forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rob Wiley, Executive Director of the South Dakota Retirement System, and it is a much shorter bill than the prior two, and it's quite simple and straightforward. Currently, the Board of Trustees of the South Dakota Retirement System annually authorize an appointment to someone associated with the board to serve as a member of the South Dakota Investment Council. The board has always appointed the executive director administrator to that position. As the board saw this and considered it here in recent times, they thought it would make sense to actually make that a permanent appointment and suggest in this bill that the executive director administrator of the SDRS be the statutory component to the council, and an annual appointment would no longer be needed. We see this as a great balance between the two programs. The state investment officer sits on the South Dakota retirement system, and I have sat on the investment council now for the last 13 years, and my predecessor before that. So it's made a good balance between the two programs that support each other so much. We urge you to support Senate Bill 15. The South Dakota Investment Council has also voted to that they are supportive of this change also.
Thank you, Mr. Wiley. Any other testimony? Proponents for Senate Bill number 15? Seeing none, any opponents to Senate Bill number 15? Anyone here in opposition to this particular piece of legislation? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and we'll move into the question phase regarding Senate Bill number 15. And I would just like to ask one question in this regard of Mr. Wiley.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wiley. The just trying more curiosity. Have you just always fulfilled this responsibility, and is it for someone to be on the board, or is this a new thing that's taking place?
No, the board each year does an annual appointment each June. In our June board meeting, we have an appointment process that we go through, and so the board does each year go through an annual appointment.
Okay, and then my follow-up question to that would be, have you, since you've been the executive director administrator of the plan, have you always been appointed to this position on an annual basis?
In my tenure, it has always happened. Partly because I read the law this way and felt that we needed to do it. My predecessor didn't necessarily always do that, but I think the board always recognized that that was part of the responsibilities of the executive director administrator. I'm particularly concerned that ultimately at some point I'm going to retire. Sometime in the next 25 years I'll probably retire, it'll be early retirement. Yeah, at that point, when you're interviewing for that person to take the job, it's important that they know exactly what their duties are, and I think it would be helpful that that responsibility would be established in law, and so as a potential applicant, part of your responsibilities would be that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other? Representative Kirschman, question.
Same question, or a different question. So there's 8 voting members right now. Would you be on the board in case there's a tie on something? Would that be a reason?
The investment council does have that issue of having an even number of voting members. There's 5 that are in essence appointed, and then the state treasurer and the school and public lands, and then the representative of South Dakota Retirement Serve ex officio.
Okay. Any
even numbered issue?
Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I may ask Mr. Wiley a question, you did bring up a subject there. When you do take early retirement, there may be a position or a time where the new person coming on board may wish to have maybe somebody on the board that's more experienced attend with them. Is there any way with the statute that if we vote on this, that the board will have that flexibility to have somebody else go? Like in a vice chair situation where if you can't serve, I'll jump in.
The way this is written at this point in time, it is that position that would serve on that. I think the there is such a connection both in operations and an activity relating to the investment council and the retirement system. I can't imagine that the director of the retirement system wouldn't be the right answer to put there because of so much crossing of responsibilities, so much crossing of duties, and just the way it has evolved today. It just seems very logical that we do it this way.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wiley. Any other questions? Seeing none, we're going to close the question phase of the hearing here, and we'll now move on to the next phase, which is discussion by committee members and or action. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman. You know, Representative
Schoenbeck.
He's been doing all the speaking. I'd move to pass.
Second. Thank you, Representative Schoenbeck. Move do pass, and it's seconded by Representative Rounds. Any discussion on your motion?
Well, you know, I have a whole lot of discussion I'd like to have about that statute, but I think it's good just the way it is for now.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Any other comments on the motion? We've had a motion to pass on Senate Bill 15. It's been made and seconded. Any other discussion by any of the members of the committee? It's been a long day. It's 5:30, so I think we're going to, seeing none, we're going to call for a vote on this particular motion. And the secretary will call the roll.
Representative Kirschman.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Five ayes.